I'm Trisha Helfer, and you are listening to After the Credits at row3.com.
Welcome to another episode of After the Credits, coming to you from Studio 42.
Studio 42.
I love it. I love it. We've got a name.
It just amazes me. It took so long to come up with that. It's such a natural.
Brilliant. I saw it in your email. I'm like, oh, genius. Genius. I am Marina Antunes from Row3.com and Quieter Thought US. And joining me today, co-host
Dale McGladry. Dale 42 on Letterboxd.
And Twitter.
And Twitter.
We are Colleenless today.
Sadly.
Sadly. Unhappy face.
There is a roller derby t-shirt sitting in her position, kind of keeping vigil.
Unfortunately, it can't talk. If it could, it would have stories.
It would have stories.
The stories it would tell. I'm sure it was running around in the back of a trunk of a roller derby girl.
And I had a Bruce Campbell reference for her.
And everything.
And there's a Bruce Campbell reference in the upcoming movies.
Yeah. She's missing out, man. I was actually hoping she'd be here because I thought she'd be really interested in the very first movie we're going to talk about. So, but let's get kicked.
The Bruce Campbell reference.
Bruce Campbell reference. Let's kick things off. The April preview. Starting April with a bang. Evil Dead remake.
I was so amazed that actually Sam Raimi signed off on someone else doing this, but I guess he's moved on and kind of passing the torch. I don't know, but...
Yeah, because I mean, him and I saw some photos from the South by Southwest screening, and I mean, he was there, or was he there? Maybe not. Well, Bruce was there.
Yeah.
The Chin was there, because I saw some pictures of him on stage. So I think it looks like the original team from Evil Dead is all supporting this. So.
I was really surprised, and I think he has producer role or something. Yeah, he selected the director.
Yeah, so Fede Alvarez, he hasn't directed a whole lot of stuff, but he sort of made waves, I think it was last year or the year before, with a short film called Panic Attack. It was about, I think it was the huge robots that were massacring a city. It's only a few minutes long. It might still be kicking around on YouTube. But it generated a lot of buzz. And Raimi, I think, signed him on pretty much right away to do something. And I guess this is the movie that they decided to...
Holy cow. You know. All of his previous titles are in Spanish.
Yeah. He's a Spaniard. And it's what impresses me is that this looked... Usually the fanfare around remakes is not particularly positive. People are sort of very skeptical, especially when it's a loved title like Evil Dead. But from the get-go, it seemed to be that people seemed more okay with this, maybe because Raimi was on board.
Maybe.
But it's... I'm certainly interested from the first trailer. It looks bloody as all hell.
Well, I could not look at that trailer objectively. Like, I kept thinking of the original. Like, it reminded me of similar scenes from the original movie.
Yeah.
So I have no idea. Like, the good buzz from South by Southwest is definitely playing into me wanting to see it because I wasn't sure before.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's just really hard being objective about what I've seen so far. They seem to have, like, done a more serious remake, staying true to the theme of the original show.
Which, agree.
That almost makes me a little sad too, if that's the case, because there was a certain charm with that one being a horror, but not quite so visceral.
Yes. Yeah. Except for, you know, the tree rape.
Well, that was just bizarre, actually. That tree rape seems so kind of out of place.
Well, that's I was gonna say, it just seems to come out of nowhere, and all of a sudden there's this scene and it's like, holy fuck, did I just see that?
What the hell was that? Yeah.
So, and it looks like they kept the tree rape in the remake. Not too surprising considering the remakes look like it seriously looks bloody.
Oh, I like
it.
I
looks
said,
terrifying.
Much more visceral is the only way I can say it based on the stuff that I've seen so far.
Agreed.
And, like I said, that makes me a little sad, but I'm still kind of up for seeing the movie.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally game. Totally game. Also opening April 5th, another one I'm very excited about, Danny Boyle's new movie, James McAvoy. Oh, my God.
Well, for me, it's kind of cool seeing Rosario Dawson back in something. But McAvoy definitely, in the trailers I watched, was pretty riveting.
Yeah, so we're talking about Trance, because McAvoy is a busy guy this year. He's got a couple of movies coming out. This is... I haven't quite exactly figured out what is going on. There's something about a art heist and McAvoy being put under hypnosis.
Yeah, but this is...
So I don't really know.
There are... Man, this month... So a part of our perennial kind of griping about good and bad trailers. The first half of the month, the trailers were good. This trailer is good because it gives you a sense of what's going on, but it does not, like, there's enough leeway all over the place. You haven't quite seen the whole story, and you can believe in this one. It's about twists.
Yep.
Well, or, you know, people being disingenuous that they probably are not showing you anything like what's happening in there.
Exactly.
And yeah, it looks that really kind of psycho action thriller-ish kind of thing.
You got it.
This one has me interested too.
I'm totally excited. And of course it also includes Vincent Cassel, which always helps. Really.
Yeah, there were a couple actors I couldn't put my finger on, but the performances in the scenes I saw were good.
Yeah, and I've already been overdosing on James McAvoy and pining for
a lot of accents in this one, which was kind of cool.
You gotta love the accents. I actually saw an interview with Vincent Cassel about the movie, and the guy had asked him something about filmmaking or being an actor or something. And Cassel is just, he's an interesting guy because he's just very honest. He's like, acting, yeah, it's my job, but it's not really that important in the grand scheme of things. It was essentially what he was getting at. And I'm like, you know, a lot of actors wouldn't say that.
No kidding.
So I really have a soft spot for him. He's always so interesting. And he's handsome, which helps. Also opening April 5th, Robert Redford returns. It's been a couple of years since he's directed a film. Actually, the last one was one that starred James McAvoy. The McAvoy continues.
Which one was that?
The Conspirator.
Oh, God. Okay, I got to put that on. I haven't seen that one.
It's a good one. Oh, well, yeah, it's a good one. I could say I enjoyed it. It was pretty good. I think it's a period piece, if I remember correctly. About the assassination of... I can't remember. I think it was about the assassination of a president.
That's okay.
I'm not sure. But okay, the company...
This one. Now, okay, you all you movie promoters out there, media people, this is a freaking awesome trailer.
Agreed. Awesome trailer. And actually, I think there's two of them kicking around that are both quite good. So Redford also stars, includes Britt Marling, Stanley Tucci, Nick Nolte, Susan Sarandon, and a bunch of other people. And what's his face? What is his face? His name isn't on the cast list here, and I can't remember his name.
What's his face?
The young kid from Transformers, Shia LaBeouf.
Oh.
Shia. So it's a thriller about some activists that have been underground for a long time, and all of a sudden they get outed, and one of them is on the run and one of them isn't. It looks amazing.
I was going to get cranky because I'm like, really? You're telling me this much? And then they threw in twist with Redford's character, and I'm like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
This is now interesting. Yeah, it looks really promising, and I like it when Redford directs. I think he's a solid director.
Oh, I have a definite soft spot, even for some of his stuff that have been maybe a little, like his less commercial, kind of more indie stuff,
yeah,
if that's the word for it. I have enjoyed those two.
Yeah, he's good all around. I'm excited to see that. So look, in the first week, we've got a bunch of movies that we already want to see. This is awesome.
Yeah, there's not a lot of movies this month, but there were like still a lot that it's like, oh, I want to see that.
Yeah, I know. Well, it feels like a short month too, because it starts sort of like a weekend. So that certainly doesn't help. Also opening April 5th, the re-release of Jurassic Park in 3D, because that's totally necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much my feeling. It's not that I don't like Jurassic Park. I just never loved it. And I really have zero interest in rewatching it.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I enjoyed the shit out of it when it first came out, but I've never felt like I've wanted to rewatch it. But the one thing that makes me happy, actually, is that there'll be kind of a new generation of people introduced to it. Because I think there were some cool... I still remember the scene in there where the girl is, like, looking at this completely visual interface. It's like, that's Unix. I know Unix. And the geek in me kind of cheered a little bit, you know? There were some trope-tastic things in there too, but there was a lot of stuff in there that was like kind of geeky science, well, pseudoscience, but still, it's like, yeah, let's. And I remember at the time, you know, like because of the special effects with the dinosaurs and everything, it created a real buzz and interest again in that whole kind of thing. So it's going to be fun to see if the magic happens again.
Yeah, and I mean, it's one of those movies that seems to have held up pretty well. I mean, the trailers look really good. So, I mean, it was groundbreaking when it came out because of those effects and the animal effect. But, I mean, it certainly seems to have held up really well. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it sort of reinvigorates and, you know, burns the magic. I don't even know what it's rated. I think it might be rated like PG.
That would be my guess.
Oh, it's rated G, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Certificate G.
How G has changed.
Yeah, no shit, hey? also opening April 5th and already playing video on demand, The Brass Teapot, a comedy from Rama Mosley based on her short story from a few years back, stars Juno Temple and Michael Angarano about a couple who finds a brass teapot that basically shoots out money whenever they get hurt.
I have actually seen this one.
Oh, and?
And the premise is awesome. I think depending on what you enjoy in movies, you're going to either find this a bit meh or you're going to really, really like this. And you'll just have to figure that out for yourself. For me, like I say, some of the scenes they had around the premise, it's just hilarious. And there's like some social commentary that they don't really beat you over the head with. And I love that too. But I found some of the scenes, the way her sensibility about the scenes made that feel a little less serious. And I thought detracted from the film in the end. But I think there's going to be a lot of people that actually like that. So yeah, you'll just have to figure it out for yourself. But if it sounds interesting, go see it, because there's definitely, I won't spoil it, but there's some really fun scenes in there.
Well, what struck me about the trailer is that the premise sounds a lot darker than the trailer leads me to believe the movie
and
is.
That is the dissonance that I did not like. That is bang on. The trailer gets that part right.
Like,
there's definitely, she could have gone much darker with this.
But, which is what I expected based on the story.
The actual story, I think, quite literally, I think if you had scored it differently, there would be a different emotional reaction to it. But there was some scenes where there's kind of some dark shit happening, but the music lightens it up. And I'm like, why did you do that? Like, for me, it would have been so much better experience if you had just gone to that dark place and pulled me back again.
Yeah. That's interesting, because the trailer just sort of struck me as odd. I'm like, okay, they're really playing for the big laugh, but it doesn't feel like that much of a comedy. It feels like it should be darker.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm really curious to see it now. That's good to know. Also opening April 5th, I I don't even know what to say about this because it feels so old. So we're talking about Shelter, now renamed. I think they've renamed it Six Souls
now. Six Souls, yeah. That's what it is on IMDb.
Yeah, so it's a thriller with Julianne Moore and Jonathan Rhys-Meyers. Rhys-Meyers plays a guy that has multiple personality disorder. She's a shrink. Shit happens. It's okay. I mean, I say it's okay because I saw it like a year ago.
Oh, okay.
It's on DVD in Canada. That's why it's kind of like, it's weird. I think it was like a UK Canadian co-production.
Oh, wow.
So when I saw it come up, I'm like, well, this sounds really familiar, but this title is different. I'm like, oh, they changed the title. I'll link to my review. It's not great. It's not awful. Meyer's actually pretty good. In the various roles, but it's nothing really new. I mean, it's just more of a rehashed. Looks good. Not really much more to say about that. Opening April 12th, probably one of the movies I'm most excited to see this month.
There's a lot of buzz out there for this.
Yeah, so we're talking about Oblivion. This is Joseph Kosinski's follow-up to Tron Legacy, starring Tom Cruise and a bunch of people. Including Morgan Freeman and Olga Kurylenko, and I cannot remember her name now. Damn it! She won an Oscar for. She said, "Fuck!" I can't remember her name. Melissa Leo. Melissa okay. Leo. Eventually, it was going to come to mind. And you don't actually see her in the early trailers, but she does play a fairly prominent role from the looks of it in later trailers. Post. War with aliens. The world is decimated. They're on planet Earth, basically fixing drones to sort of monitor things, and they discover something. Humans, it looks like. I don't know. I think it looks really good. It looks really nice.
I'm there. I mean, the one thing that struck me actually, for anyone that's played the game Portal, the robots and some of the other stuff really had that kind of white enamel sensibility about them. It just kind of jumped out at me. I don't know if that was hard to know if that was even conscious on their part, but yeah, no, it's sci-fi. That the plot line in the trailer was compelling. It could be total trash, but I'm going anyway.
You and me both, man. I am there opening weekend. Bring on Tom.
Yeah, in spite of Tom.
Oh, same for me. It's bring on Tom. I'll take him any day of the week. Also opening April 12th, 42. From the director of A Knight's Tale and The Order. I just think that's hilarious because I sort of lost track of this director for a while, and now I know why. Because he's made a couple of things, but nothing that really stands out since A Knight's Tale. Stars TV star Chadwick Boseman, the story of Jackie Robinson.
Yeah. You know, this again, when I read the description, this was one of those, biopic. Bleh. But yeah. By the end of the trailer, I'm like, again, this was like a good trailer.
Agreed. Like, and I'm interested in this. Yeah, it's an interesting story, too. I mean, I like these sort of biopics about important people in history, even if it is sports.
I do.
And baseball, of all things.
Yeah.
Sorry, but baseball fans.
The baseball, I doubt the baseball has like a big... The baseball seems to be like the scenery, you know, the setting. Much. It's not the star, which is good. One of the things that struck me about this one was Harrison Ford playing his age.
Yes.
And I liked the character.
Yes.
That I saw him playing. But yeah, the sensibility of the story, even when they transitioned from the more period kind of music into the hip hop, still seemed to like, for me, have the right sensibility for the biopic. Didn't feel preachy, I guess, is the... Some of them tend to, like, especially when you're talking about something like this subject matter.
Yeah.
Feel kind of a little bit revisionist. Like, they have that we will triumph aspect to it from the very beginning when really when you read real accounts of what's going on, and even when you think it through, it's like they had no idea where they were going like that. You know, yeah. Like, when he started off wanting to play ball, I'm sure the last thing he thought about was in 2013 he would, you know, be a famous historical figure.
Exactly.
I mean, you know that you're the first, you're going to be a big deal, but
yeah,
how big?
Exactly. It's funny you mentioned the music. Now, I think from the playlist had a track listing for the soundtrack, and it's very period. I don't think there's anything modern on it whatsoever. So I think that was might have just been a cut for the trailer.
Trailer, yeah.
But the soundtrack sounds fantastic. Fantastic. I can't wait. Okay, also opening on the 12th, we'll mention it because we have to. Pretty much. Scary Movie 5. Does anybody care anymore?
I don't know. You know, I will say this for them. There were a couple gags in the trailer that actually didn't feel like completely, totally redone. But having said that, there was stuff in there that was like, yeah, okay. This movie is exactly like the others in the franchise.
Pretty much. Except this time around, they have Charlie Sheen and Lindsay Lohan. Pretty much the only movies that will ever hire those two.
And he makes, you know, I've come back from worse.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. He, you know, it's good that you can poke fun at yourself, kids. Yeah. You're in trouble otherwise. Also opening on the 12th, If the Gods Be Good. New Terrence Malick. It's about love. It looks like every other Terrence Malick movie. Oh, my heart just broke a little.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yes,
I love Malick. And his sort of wandering camera, very pensive. Not a lot of shit happens. It's just very pretty.
Yeah, like is atmospheric the right word for those kinds of things?
Yeah, I would think so.
It's I guess I've gotten that much ADD. I could barely sit still through the trailer. I can't imagine going to the whole movie.
For me, it's funny because I have issues with. Sometimes I have problems with movies that don't really. Where nothing happens, where it's just like a camera sort of wandering around and there's really no plot or something's sort of very minimalist of a plot. But some of them, they're just, they don't capture my attention. You know, you just sort of sit there and it's like, yeah, okay, can we move on to the next thing? Like I saw Bestiary the other day and that's kind of what it reminded me of because it looks nice. I mean, it's a nice looking, I guess, documentary, if you could call it that. But it's basically like a camera at like a zoo for an hour and whatever it is. Maybe just over an hour. But it's like, I was so bored.
Well, that sounds like our daily bread, too.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I'm okay with stuff like that, but it needs to have some magic to it. Malick captures the magic for me. I think sometimes it's just the images, but I sit there and I'm okay to have it wash over me for an hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever. I could watch it for 3 hours. It just, there's a magic to it. Bellator is the same thing. They look really great, but they just do nothing for me. I'm just get me out of here. But there are some directors that manage to do that, and I'm still, it's within my sweet zone, I guess.
Yeah.
And Malick is definitely within my sweet zone.
That's interesting. You know, that strikes me as a very personal kind of a relationship with the
it
film.
Is.
So there's
it
almost
is.
That intimate kind of.
I think there is so it's certainly something to that.
Something like that is not going to, you know, appeal to a mass number of, you just need to find your director.
And well, exactly. It's just, I guess it's just a combination of things that either make it work or not. And Malick's always works for me for some reason. So Ben Affleck, Javier Bardem, Rachel McAdams, Olga Kurylenko again. She's having a really good year.
Yeah.
Good for her. And it's, a story of relationships and love that just looks like another Malick movie.
I will say this. When Bardem showed up in the scene, I was riveted. That man, I want his voice.
Oh, I want all of him. Damn you. Damn you, Cruz. Damn you.
Will you take a mute? Like, I'll take his voice. You can have everything else.
Yeah, sure. I'll take whatever. I'll take a hair. No, seriously, the man is like all sorts of hotness. All sorts of hotness. Also opening. Oh, now this one says the 19th, which is sort of an odd date. I think it's sort of the middle of the week. So I'm not quite sure what the deal is with that. But Rob Zombie's The Lords of Salem.
That was why it stood out in the middle of nowhere. It didn't even occur to me that.
Yeah, I think it's like on a. Is it on a Tuesday or something? Or is it on a Friday?
It's a Friday.
Oh.
That's weird.
That is weird. Okay, so apparently that Friday, that's the only thing we're getting.
Well, this is the only thing on that Friday, yeah.
which is really bizarre, eh?
Something's, yeah, I wonder if the system hiccuped.
Maybe. But I'm actually really curious about this, even though the reviews haven't been particularly good. Rob Zombie is really hit and miss for me with his horror movies, but I find that I like this particular type of horror movie that deals with like religious sects and just shit with the devil. I just have this fascination. I don't know what it is, but I love this trailer. Our guy that saw it at whatever film festival it played at, it might have been Sundance or something. I don't remember. He didn't really care for it, called it a bit revisionist and sort of borrows from a bunch of places, but doesn't attract me. I still want to
see. This is not my kind of film.
Oh, yeah.
We've established that.
Yeah, I totally lived. I dig this shit. Like, seriously.
Is that his wife? Or
yeah, yeah. Cheryl Moon Zombie. She's in all of his movies.
Oh,
she's
okay.
Not a very good actress, but she's passable. I mean, I think she's been in all of his movies. It's
okay.
Like his muse.
The trailer had a real kind of almost Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah, which is what I loved about it.
Mashup vibe.
Yeah, which is one of the things that I really liked about it because I fucking love Rosemary's Baby. Like, that shit is awesome. Thank you, Criterion. That's all I gotta say. I love my Criterion edition. Love it. Okay, April 26th. I cannot believe I'm going to say this. I am stoked for a Michael Bay movie. Stoked for a Michael Bay movie.
Go Marky Mark.
Go fucking Marky Mark. Dwayne Johnson. Yeah. So this is apparently based on a true story.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yes. I read something about that the other day, about some bodybuilders.
So the movie's called Pain and Gain.
Yeah. Sorry. I forgot to mention that part.
Directed by Michael Bay with Mark Wahlberg, Dwayne Johnson, and Rebel Wilson too.
Yeah, she's, but they don't list the name of the black guy because he's been in a bunch of stuff.
You mean beside Dwayne Johnson?
Yeah, no, there's.
Let's see if I can find it.
Because there's a trio of bodybuilders. It's actually Marky Mark and this other guy, who was in. My mind is totally fried this morning. I can't remember any names. I'll remember.
Anthony Mackie.
Like, the guy is awesome. They don't even put him in the front. Like, that's crazy. But so Marky Mark and Anthony Mackie are friends that come up with this plan to basically steal a bunch of money from this other, not really a bodybuilder, but he works out at the gym, douchebag. And they bring in Dwayne Johnson as kind of like the muscle. I love this trailer. It's like the perfect Michael Bay movie. It's loud. It's brash, it's colorful, it's set in the 80s, and it's fucking awesome. I don't see how this could possibly go wrong. I'm so excited.
You almost channeled the trailer, because I think my favorite, one of the turning points was when Wahlberg's character goes, "No, don't worry, I've seen this in a movie." And it's like, yes, what could go wrong with that?
I love it. I seriously, I honestly think that this might be the greatest Michael Bay movie of all time.
And it's actually, you know, it's, I kind of, when I watched the trailer and then I looked at the credits, it's like, Michael Bay?
I know.
It's like, well, good on you, guy, if you're going to try and break out of that kind of,
why not?
Transformers, big explosion rut.
Agreed.
Well, there's probably going to be an explosion, but you know.
Or two. You never know. But dude, the whole thing just yells, Marina, watch me now. I don't know what it is, but I love it. Actually, you know what? That would be kind of fun to watch with Spring Breakers. For whatever reason, I think that would make a really cool double bill. I don't know why, but in my mind, I think I would like to watch those movies back to back. I don't know why, because I haven't seen Spring Breakers, but I just sort of get that sense that that would be kind of badass.
I still haven't heard enough about Spring Breakers to know what I should go in for the mystery. But honestly, I kind of want to know which of two directions I think the story might go, that it actually goes, before I decide to see it or not.
No, you just need to see it. also opening on the 26th, The Big Wedding.
I don't know what the hell to make about.
I didn't know this. I hadn't seen any trailers for this. I was completely in the dark. I'm like, really? A Robert De Niro comedy with a bunch of other people: Diane Keaton, Katherine Heigl.
Well, you know, Heigl kind of.
Well, yeah, but she's not the main character.
She's
the main character are the old people. No,
yes,
I shouldn't really say it that way.
Well, it's not, but like Heigl's a spring chicken anymore either. But
well, no, but she's not as old as Robert De Niro.
She's not De Niro and Keaton. Yeah, territory.
And Sarandon.
Sarandon.
Yeah, so the story is really
also
about them.
Like, this is, she's doing pretty good, right?
She's got a good run this year. Last 2 years, I guess, she's been in a bunch of stuff.
Her second movie opening.
That's not bad. This month. Good for her. Oh, yeah, that's right, because she had something earlier in the month.
Yeah.
So the story is about Amanda Seyfried and Ben Barnes, who are getting married, having this big wedding. Ben Barnes' mother is coming to the wedding. She's very religious. You know,
it really,
divorce is a bad, bad thing.
I would almost categorize this as a modern farce.
Yeah, I mean, could go with
farce
that.
In the good sense of the genre. And those are kind of, a really good farce is hard to pull off because it is so easy to go into the weeds.
It's true.
And this one has the potential. I mean, it's like, I'm kind of liking what I'm seeing in De Niro, which I haven't for a long time.
Yeah, he's been really good the last, I'd say, year and a half, 2 years. I've seen at least two, maybe three movies that I've really liked him in. Really liked him in. Red Lights, he was great. Silver Linings Playbooks, he was great.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's having a really good run, which is great because he's had a shitty couple of years before that.
So, I'm seeing some great scenes in here, but I'm kind of, the story sounds like it might annoy me.
Yeah. This is definitely a rental for me. It's not something I'll go out to the theater to watch.
Yeah.
I'll be at the Michael Bay movie, people.
So like, Heigl, I just have to say, I'm looking forward to this Kim Coates, Katherine Heigl project.
Oh, I know, hey?
Yeah. So Marina interviewed Kim Coates and he dropped that he's going to do a comedy with her. And it's like, ooh.
Yeah, which isn't listed anywhere on IMDb. It's like the weirdest thing. So yes, if you want to read all about my interview.
So hopefully we didn't just jinx it.
I don't think so. He was flying out to New Orleans to be on set. So I think it's a go. Yeah. It just hasn't been widely reported. And it's just kind of weird that he's really keen on doing comedy. And for those who don't know who Kim Coates is by name, he's on Sons of Anarchy. He plays Tig. And he's totally badass, just for the record. Also opening on the 26th, only in Marina's world would Pain and Gain and Mud be two of the things she's really excited to see in the same weekend.
Wow, I was like watching this trailer going, and then why am I playing? McConaughey shows up and I didn't even realize it was him at first.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, this just got interesting. This looks like really good.
Like awesome. So directed by Jeff Nichols, he directed Shotgun Stories and Take Shelter. So this is very much one of those slow burn, low budget sort of, I don't know. It's a Jeff Nichols movie from the looks of it.
It's not that low budget.
No, it's not. Actually, it's kind of funny because he was talking about, there's a really great interview in Interview Magazine, which I'll link to, which is actually a really great read because they talk a little bit about his work with Michael Shannon, who also appears in this in a smaller role. He's not the central character. That's Matthew McConaughey. But he also talks a little bit about how the movies have sort of come out and how Take Shelter, you would assume, because of the special effects, would be a more expensive movie. But he was actually trying to get Mud made, and it was going to be so much more expensive that they did Take Shelter first, which is kind of just like, you have a moment, you're like, really? But that had so many special effects. So it's kind of interesting, the way he talks about the scopes of his movies. But the particular story here is two boys basically help McConaughey avoid the law. That's the basic premise. Other shit happens.
Oh, you know, that doesn't give
no.
what I see in the trailer justice.
No, it doesn't.
It's a lot more.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There are mysterious backgrounds to be played out. There are.
For sure. There's always a lot of mystery and intrigue in Jeff Nichols movies. I really like his filmmaking, so I'm very excited to see this. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. If it opens here, please open here. Please open here. Please open here. Also opening on the 26th, At Any Price. It's funny because whenever I see the title for this movie, I just sort of blank for a minute. And then, because it's just so nondescript. I don't know what it is. Like, I look at it, I'm like, what the hell is this movie? And then I'm like, oh yeah, Dennis Quaid. I know this one. So it's the story of a family business. A family with a business. The son doesn't want to take over the family business. Dennis Quaid stars. Zac Efron stars. Supposed to be quite good. I really like these trailers. I'm curious to see Zac Efron in something a little more substantial, because I really liked him in The Paperboy. I actually thought he was quite good. So I'm curious. I like Dennis Quaid.
I actually, in the trailer, Zac Efron's performance seemed okay. The story didn't, and not my kind of story, I think, is the...
Yeah.
And the trailer didn't change my mind.
It's not something I would usually watch. It's just, it seems kind of played out, but...
Yeah, it wasn't so much... Actually, I mean, the father-son relationship could have been interesting, but the overarching backdrop of the whole... I mean, I'm not even sure how to describe it concisely, but the stuff going on with the family business and running afoul of something somewhere. It just didn't appeal to me.
Yeah, it could very easily take over, and which, you know, might not be particularly interesting. But I'm certainly curious to see if it manages to redeem itself.
I don't know if I'd say it has to redeem itself, but just based on the trailer alone, the story wasn't something that interested me. What am I trying to say here? It's don't let my opinion dissuade you one way or to make you decide one way or the other.
This is kind of,
I don't know. It's not my story.
This is kind of funny. I think it's worth reading here. But in IMDb, under the buzz, it says, the other part of me thinks this looks like Footloose without the fun and best-selling soundtrack.
Oh, boy. I wouldn't have gone there, but...
No, neither would I, but that's kind of harsh.
I don't get that at all.
But. Neither do I. I guess it's the whole message aspect of the movie, because I'm assuming that it probably is a message. I haven't looked at this closely enough to really grant it, but I did really enjoy the trailer, and I like both actors, so I'd watch it. We'll finish off the month with The Reluctant Fundamentalist, which is Mira Nair's new film. Her of Vanity Fair and The Namesake and a lot of other movies, fame. About a Pakistani man that's trying to make a name for himself on Wall Street, and he gets wrapped up in some less than, I don't even know exactly what happens, but it looks like he gets sucked into some sort of hostage thing.
I'll give the
trailer's a bit confusing. I don't know.
Yeah, the trailer didn't, was trying to hint at something, but kind of was a little bit confusing or deliberately obtuse or something. This isn't typically my kind of story either, but I'll say the trailer got me a bit interested. Probably not enough that I want to see this in a theater, but
for me,
there's some stuff happening.
Yeah, for me, the trailer really didn't work because I honestly can't figure out what the hell the story is about. But I really like Mira Nair. I think she's exceptionally talented, and really, I'll watch anything.
Actually,
she does.
I mean, the first half, the pre-9/11 part of the trailer was quite compelling for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously, like, that's the turning point where something's happening to the guy, and you're not quite sure whether he's been recruited to be an agent or he's turned or something. And then shit is happening. And it was just like, I got no sense of what kind of story this would be to tell me if it's the kind of story I'd be interested in. So, and I kind of think that reading too much about this would put a spoiler into it too. So I'm kind of like a little bit conflicted about how much I want to know.
It's not something I'd probably see theatrically, only because there's a lot of other stuff opening that week that I'd really like to see. And quite honestly, it's kind of long.
Oh, I didn't even... Wow. Yeah. Over 2 hours.
Yeah.
So, well, 8 minutes over 2 hours, but still.
But yeah, it's a bit of a slog over 2 hours. So
it better be damn compelling.
Exactly.
2 hours.
But I really do like Nair, and I usually give her the benefit of the doubt only because I'm a big fan. So I'm curious to check it out at some point.
I'm going
to
actually, that reminds me, I haven't seen Vanity Fair. I keep, every time I kind of think about watching it, I kind of back off again. I'm not sure.
I really like Vanity Fair. I actually prefer The Namesake. If you haven't seen The Namesake,
I don't think I've seen any of her films. That's a far superior film.
Yeah? I think The Namesake is severely underappreciated. It's a really great story about family and values and like keeping in touch with your ethnicity and your background. It's a really great movie, and it stars Kumar, whose name I've completely forgotten. but yeah, there you go.
Oh God, I can.
You can see his face.
I can see his face.
Yeah, but and he's quite good in it. It's a really great story. I really do.
Is that the one where he's got the name, the crazy name? That,
yeah.
Oh, okay. I remember.
Yeah, because his.
I remember talking about that.
Yeah, they named him after an author in India or something.
Yeah.
It's been a few years since I've seen it, but it's one of those that went really under the radar. It really should have had more attention because it's pretty badass. And that's it for the month of April.
Yeah.
For Vancouverites, a few other tidbits worth noting. Mark your calendars, people. Miami Connection is coming to town. Dale is looking kind of confused. 1980s lost. I don't want to call it a classic, but it's sort of become that cult classic, I guess you could say. Directed, co-directed by YK Kim and Richard Park and starring YK Kim. I haven't seen it yet, but my understanding and from the trailer, it looks completely ridiculous. It's kung fu, motorcycles, 80s synth music.
Oh, I'm there.
Yeah, it's supposed to be kind of awesome. So mark the calendars, April 5th at the Cinematheque. Also worth mentioning, they're doing a retrospective of Shintoho cinema. I had to read up a little bit about this because I had no idea why this was such a big deal. But apparently they were a Japanese studio that operated for like 10 years between the 1950s and 1960s. And they made like popular, like blockbuster type movies.
Yeah, I've never heard of them either.
Yeah, so it's all like ghost stories and alien stories and romances.
Oh, nice.
And they're all in black and white. And they're all a little bit cheesy, but they're doing a retrospective. So they've got a bunch of titles lined up. So worth checking out if you're into that stuff. Also playing Leviathan, a film that I have a real hate on for, but everybody else seems to love. So if you're like experimental documentaries about fishing, this is for you.
Oh, I thought that was a big budget.
No.
No, okay.
No, not at all. It's my understanding from Kurt, who has a number of people have given me a bit of a hard time on this. It's just one of those movies that I could never get into. Kind of irking back to the Malick talk, because it's one of those documentaries where my understanding it was a thesis project from maybe MIT, but maybe some other university. They put a bunch of cameras, these like GoPro cameras, all over a fishing boat, and they just let them run for however long, and then they edited them together. So I only stayed for the first 40 minutes before I was ready to puke, because there's for a while, like in the opening 10 minutes, you don't even know where you are. Like, it's so dark outside. All you hear is the sound of something. You can't really figure out what it is. You eventually figure out you're on a fishing boat. But I mean, maybe something happens in the end. I couldn't be bothered to stay to find out what it was.
I just want
to
say we're both right. Leviathan.
There's also a big.
It's also a 1989 adventure horror mystery with like Richard Crenna and Peter Weller.
Oh, you know what? I think I have actually seen that even. Go figure.
So there you go, people. Don't get them confused because they sound quite different.
They totally are. also at the Cinematheque, Sleepwalk With Me, which I highly recommend. Stars written and I think directed by Mike Birbiglia. I hope I pronounced that right. He's a stand-up comedian who's done this movie kind of with his stand-up comedy. It's really charming and really sweet and very funny. So highly recommend it. And also for the kid love in all of us, The Neverending Story. And I can guarantee you know what the closing music for this podcast will be.
Yes. And, you know, if you want to get some of the Robot Chicken references, you want to see this movie.
I love The Neverending Story. Love The Neverending Story.
There is a generation of... It was a little bit after... Because it's a children's movie.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a little bit after I was watching this. It was in my, I'm too grown up to go see kids' movies.
Oh, okay.
I've totally gotten over kind of phase. So I missed it in the theaters. And then, you know, hanging out with different people. And it's just like, wow, I missed a whole cultural thing here.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and it's funny because whenever it's on TV, Dan always, we always watch through certain scenes because he remembers some of it very fondly. And then the rest of it, he just doesn't care for. But I didn't see this until I was in my probably late teens. Because we just never grew up watching movies, and I still love this movie. And it's cheesy as all hell, but
yeah,
man, Falcor is awesome.
A friend of mine named her car Falcor.
There is good reason for that, because Falcor is awesome. The flying dog people. He's a flying giant dog. It's awesome. Awesome. So yeah, I actually may. I never go out to their. This is one of their Saturday or Sunday daytime screenings where they allow children. I've never gone to them, but I may have to go out to see the NeverEnding Story on
this
the
might screen. Actually. This might be one of those ones that would be fun to see with a room full of.
Oh, cool! Kids. Hey, we should totally go. We'll talk after the podcast. Moving on, the Van City Theater. Also, some good stuff here. Neighboring Sounds, which is the Brazilian semi-thriller, slow burn horror movie where nothing really happens, but it's still kind of creepy. I'll link to my review. I enjoyed it to an extent. It didn't fully work for me, but it's a nice looking movie and worth checking out. Picture Day, which we both saw at Whistler.
Yep.
Also playing, won a couple of awards at Whistler.
Yeah.
The star is going to be starring in a new TV show, Orphan Black. Which looks really...
Hadn't heard that.
I think it's the same girl. I'll have to double check. I might be wrong on that. But worth checking out. What else do we have here? Like Someone in Love from the director of Certified Copy. Looks like an interesting little thriller. Lore, which is Kate Shortland's movie that I'm really looking forward to seeing. It's the one that's set in Germany during World War II, but it's centered on children of Nazi sympathizers who run off.
I totally, this one isn't on my radar.
Yeah, I remember seeing the trailer when it sort of made its way last year, but I never opened here. So I'm happy to see that I'll finally get a chance to see it. And oh my God, Upstream Color. Come on, you're going to get excited in a second, right?
Wow, another one that isn't, I've kind of been out of it, I think.
You did see Primer, right?
I haven't seen Primer.
Oh! I think I just choked.
Okay,
haven't seen Primer?
I can see my cred just kind of hit the floor.
Okay, no. This is... The reason I am in shock is because Primer is your perfect movie.
Really?
I think you are going to love this movie to bits.
Okay.
Time travel, but real time travel. Like... based in real science, time travel. Like, this movie has your name written all over it. I think you will love Primer.
That, you know, the time travel might have been the thing that kept me away from it, but...
Seriously?
Well, you know me and time travel. It kind of, but, you know, I have those that hair up my ass about...
But I think you'll appreciate this particular brand of time travel.
Okay, I have homework.
You do, because, oh my God, that's why I'm in shock. I thought for sure you'd be all over that. So Upstream Color, we still don't know what it's about. We don't care. Like, seriously, nobody knows what it's about. People that have seen it don't know what it's about.
Oh.
Yeah, it's one of those movies. Mind you, it took people 10 years to figure out what Primer is about. We still don't really know.
Oh, God.
So
you tend to like those movies better than I do.
Yeah, but I think I really do think that you'll appreciate Primer. We'll have to we may have to do a movie watching day of this one.
There has been, like, literally, I think, two of those kinds of movies. The only title I can remember is Foundation, where I kind of have a sense of what it's about, but I'm still like, I don't know what I just watched. But I still think about it, you know, and it's like, you gotta say, a movie that saw 10 years ago or whatever it was and still think about occasionally, it's like, that's something.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a fun watch while I was, even if it didn't like especially make sense overall. So I'm really hit and miss with, well, more miss than hit. So okay.
Yeah,
I might take a chance.
No, you totally have to take a chance on Primer. Collingwood Cinemas, they're running this used to be the old Denman Cinemas. They are now up on Kingsway.
I'm kind of annoyed I missed their last. They did the one during Emerald City, right? Where they had...
Yes.
I forget what the lineup was, but I would have totally gone.
So they're running, there's a new group in town. They call themselves the B Movie Reel. And they're basically showing classic, like old school sci-fi movies. Yeah. And their screening this month is Them. Them!
There was a whole series of sci-fi films that had titles like that. I forget what the proper grammatical phrase is, but you know, them and they, and
yeah,
they come, and it's just like these really,
yeah, they don't do them like they used to, that's for sure.
It's really fun. I watched most of these movies as a kid on like late night TV.
Yeah.
And it's been really fun dredging up some of these things and rewatching them. And it's always surprising, you know, as a kid, you remember different things. So things that hold up and things that are like total, like, whoa. Alrighty then.
And finishing off the Rio, they're doing a special screening of The Story of Luke, which is, I believe, a Canadian film directed by Alonso Mayo, starring Seth Green, Lou Taylor Pucci and Kristen Bauer, about a kid with autism. It's screening on April 5th. It's part of a special event that they're hosting. Not really familiar with the movie, but it's got really good reviews. Might be something worth checking out. And that's kind of it for the month of April. Totally it for the month of April. I think.
I'm kind of stoked.
I'm really stoked. There's... And we still haven't even gotten to like Star Trek. And Star Trek. And Star Trek.
Yeah, Star Trek.
I'm like G.I. Joe and Fast Five and Star Trek.
That opened this weekend, didn't it?
Which one?
I totally didn't. G.I. Joe. Or is it next
weekend?
Next weekend.
That kind of threw me for a loop because G.I. Joe and The Host both open next weekend.
Yes. And Iron Man is coming. I'm not sure. I know you're not a fan, but...
Yeah, I'm kind of...
Just because actually it's that kind of a science fiction kind of a thing, I'm keen on it. But I have to say from the trailer movie might not be... I'm setting my expectations low, but I'm looking forward to going to see it.
Yeah, no, there's a bunch of movies like that for me. But I don't know what it is with Iron Man. I've kind of lost interest in some of the superhero movies. Like, you got to give me something really cool for me to be excited about it.
Okay, I know what you mean by that. Definitely. They don't... Now that we actually are getting them coming up fairly regularly, mm-hmm. The bar has gone up.
Oh, well, for
the bar
sure.
Used to be, it's like...
For sure.
It's got superhero shit in it. Yeah!
And but now it's like, it's got to be good superhero
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, exactly.
And everybody's definition of good is different, right?
Yeah.
I mean, for me, you can give me a Thor movie every year and I'll get excited. Because it's just my kind of, you know, you've got a little bit of mythology mixed in and it's a superhero thing and, you know, it works for me. Same with Captain America. I like it on a different level because it's kind of more old school and I don't know. Iron Man just never really did anything for me. And I like Robert Downey Jr., don't get me wrong, but it's like there's only so much I'm willing to put up with, and the explosions don't really do much for me anymore.
Two was pretty pro forma, and one doesn't hold up as well in the rewatching as other movies have. It's funny, you watch it the first time, and your sense of like what captures you totally is not the memory changes. Like there's aspects of the film that I thought were a big part of the film that turned out to be, I don't know, a 10-minute scene.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. And yet that was like loomed what the biggest part of the memory of the film was. So yeah, the rewatching, not so much. When it first came out, I was just like, ah, this is awesome. And the second one,
It's funny because the Incredible Hulk was on TV the other day. The old the old one.
The Ang Lee?
The Ang Lee version. And that movie, for me, I think holds up really well. I mean, I liked it when I saw it originally. And it's one that I've seen maybe two or three times since. And it's one that I don't mind watching again.
Oh.
There's just something about it that really works.
I have not rewatched that. I remember, what I remember of it was, it was a really great experiment. Like, as a Hulk film, a few of the things in the end just didn't kind of work for me, but I really appreciated him making the effort, and it was good enough in the effort that, you know, I enjoyed it. I didn't feel like I'd wasted my money to go see it.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of wasn't going to be on any of my list of great movies.
Yeah, no, but I mean, when you talk about superhero movies, I guess, you know, people get excited about like Batman and Superman and Iron Man. And I liked some of the Superman movies, but I've never had a special, you know, place in my heart for them.
And Superman hasn't, I can't say that any of the Supermans have really, they've completely throw away. I've enjoyed them in the moment I've seen them.
Exactly.
Never want to see them
exactly
again.
But I do find myself every once in a while sort of going back to Hulk, the Incredible Hulk, because I really do think it's a solid movie. I mean, it might not, fans of the comic book and the character may not agree, which is fine, because I've never read any of the Hulk stories, so for me it's all new anyways.
And this is how come they, you know, the comics can have so many different variations mm-hmm. on their characters. They can go in a lot of different directions.
But Thor is still my go-to. There are reasons for that, I'm sure you all appreciate.
Well, I'll say this too. The one thing that Thor has going for it, you know, to have a really great hero, you have to have a really great villain. And I've forgotten his name, but the actor that plays Loki.
Oh my God.
I think in many ways he's a better actor than Christopher Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth.
I mean, Chris Hemsworth actually, it isn't to say that he's bad. It's just that the guy that plays Loki
is so good.
Yeah, he you know, he raises the boat for everyone, or was it the tide rises for all?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is. Oh, he's so good, and he's back for Thor too.
Yeah.
Okay, I've had my fangirl moment. I will have more later, I'm sure.
Good month coming up, boys and girls.
I agree. So stay tuned, row3.com, for lots of reviews and podcasts. We are Podcast Central. So we haven't had a Mammo cast in a while. I think one of the Matts is in travel. So we've been sort of mammal-less, which I kind of miss, because I actually do really like the mammal casks. They're really short, too. So it's the kind of thing I can listen to sort of on the go, which is awesome. There is a new Movie Club podcast that went up at the end of February. So if you haven't listened to that, it'll be months before we record another one. I say we, even though I haven't participated in like 3 months. But it'll be a while before we have a new one, so be sure to head over there and check that out. And we'll be back for the May preview, if not before. So until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.
I can't do it. Fly a fantasy.
what you see will be.
The